We welcome in Zach Jackson from The Athletic, who, boy, it's November 19th, but it certainly feels like Christmas, or it feels like December in Berea, does it not?
It's one of the great days of the year when Kent State and Akron get together.
You're the worst. You're the best, but you're also the worst.
Akron has as many wins as the Browns here on November 19th, 2024.
I'm sorry.
And Kent State, a week from tonight, will become the first team to go winless in major college football in a non-COVID year since Akron in 2019. Should I keep going, or do you want to talk about
the Browns?
Get the
wagon wheel preview here.
The 6 degrees of Rob Iannello are fantastic. Zach, I mean, unbelievable.
Rob Iannello once gathered his team the week before the season finale and said, listen, I know everybody is talking about Ohio State, Michigan this week, but the fact is this is the biggest game in the country because we're 0-10 and Buffalo's 0-10 and somebody's going home winless. This is a real thing that happened.
Oh, it's a shame that didn't work out. Anyway, it's a shame this isn't working out right now. Zach, how prudent would it be? Like, no, I'm not just – are they just taking a quarterback next year in the draft and we just got to get used to that idea and pick whoever?
Yeah, I mean, you got to get used to the idea, the gonna drive discussion. Is it probably something you should do? Yes, but, I mean, are we anywhere close to that? No. And Ken, like, it doesn't make for great radio. It doesn't make for great arguments when you see your buddies on Thanksgiving next week, right? But there are so many layers to this that have failed, that are failing, that are uncertain. And until you decide who's making the picks, which direction you're going to go, how much more dead money you're going to tack on, and where you really think you can be, specifically starting with that quarterback, which you declared was the most important position and probably is, you can't even get near that decision right now. You just can't. So, yeah, I mean, is there going to be a lot of talk about it? Is that probably what you should do? Right. Yes. But there's just so much that has to go on before that, before you decide any of that. Who's your bridge quarterback? Who do you like? Who can you get? Where are you going to be? You accidentally win a couple of these games down the stretch here. That changes that, right? So do you really like these guys? And then the big thing is, you know, who's a Kevin Stefanski quarterback? And so is that your coach? So I keep going, but there's just so many layers to that decision that there's just no answer to it right now.
Do you think the problem is more the talent acquired, or is it the coaching the talent that has been acquired?
Oh, I think, I mean, a lot's gone wrong, but I think it's the construction of the team. More so because, well, it starts with what looks like the worst trade in NFL history, and then it's trickled down. I mean, you had to act like he was suddenly going to start playing well. You had to go for it now, given the age and the money, and they just poured it on. So, you know, this team doesn't stink because of the kicker, but it's like a symptom, you know? The tackling is just embarrassing. And so it's like, should they have done something in training camp? Well, they don't need a blood and guts training camp, but like they didn't have a training camp period. So this is just all kind of snowballed. And that's what's weird about it and makes it harder to even talk about, right, what you guys have to do for hours every day, is this season has been over since September. There's still 7 games left. It's just this slow crawl on these different layers before they even get to the layers of how they're going to try to go forward.
Zach, you mentioned the bridge quarterback thing. It's something we've been debating here. I said if next season it's Deshaun Watson and Jameis as the quarterback room, I said I think Browns fans will be out.
They would tap out
before September. Ken made a case that Jameis is very lovable and obviously competent. You saw what kind of a heater he was on this week, and he has those games still in his arsenal. So.
I didn't say fans would be all thrilled about it. Yeah, I didn't say they'd be enthused.
What do you think, Zach?
Well, I think it's going to depend on the coach and what they think of Jameis. And then, you know, it might depend. This could be Jameis' last start, right? Because they could just say, we're going to play for the top pick. We have 10 days to get ready for the game. I don't know that that's going to happen, and I kind of think that that's doubtful to happen, but it could be. So then it's like, okay, do you think you're getting a good Jameis and he can keep you competent next year if everything clicks around him? But again, it's what does the guy picking the players, whomever that's going to be, think? And what does the coach think? And how are you going to build this thing for the future? So, you know, people who collect sound clips and the social media team wants Jameis. But I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, we're back to the league just not having enough quarterbacks, right? And we've seen that Jameis can play and he can produce at times. And really, you know, if he does play well, and you go back to the last time you had a real chance, even though it was 3 years ago, like maybe he could still be something. But, you know, what GM and or coach are going to put their jobs on it or really think that that he can push that team to the next level, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a safe bet, but if you look at the other guys in the category that you're eventually going to be shopping in there, maybe you do got to hug the ones you're already with.
Zach Jackson joining us here in the show. Nick Chubb, he said he was, like, Kevin said he was, like, holding him back for Thursday. Yeah. Your responses to that?
Well, they've always kind of done that, and I think it's obvious that Nick has been on kind of a pitch count. So I haven't gone back and watched the game yet. It was noticeable being there that he was out for a long period of time. Now, some of that was the end of the half in a straight sprint situation where Ford would probably play in that role anyway. So I really don't know. But, look, you know, they just weren't ever getting a healthy Nick Chubb this year. And anybody who fooled themselves into thinking that, you know, was wrong. And that's the complication is he doesn't have a contract and we don't know. Only he and the doctors know, you know, where he is. So what they did around him is the problem. They built the worst running back room in the league. They signed Nyheim Hines, and he never got on the field. And they signed Foreman, and he was just what he's always been, which is just a guy who's played three or four games every place and then fallen out of the rotation. It just happened last year. It's happened again, right? So they should have been drafting one. They should have been looking elsewhere. And in all-in season, they should have been spending on a running back, and they didn't. I mean, Jerome Ford is a number two running back. That's what he is. That was established last year. It's right in front of our faces this year. And it's just, you know, I don't know. So I think you'll get 15 carries and maybe 18 if the game script goes your way and the weather's as bad as they say it is Thursday. But, no, you're just never going to see the best version of Nick Chubb this year. And are you ever going to see a great version again? I don't know.
We didn't hear Myles Garrett's name the entire broadcast, and you were watching that game in person. I'm sure you were monitoring, and I want to be fair to him. It looked like he was a little banged up earlier in the game, but is that someone that the Browns might need to be a little worried about? Because if they lose the buy-in from him, there are going to be a lot of questions going into next year.
Well, it was concerning because, you know, he had the bye week, and he said he was much healthier. It would have made sense, and he just had that big game, you know. So, in general, the Saints' offensive line just mauled the Browns. But, yeah, I mean, guys, there's going to be a lot of discussion about what to do with Myles Garrett and, you know, should you move on from him as he turns 29 here in about 5 weeks and is under contract for 2 years. And you know that next year you probably can't put out a winning product. So, yeah, it was a disappointing game from him. You expect better. I think we often wander into the territory of why doesn't he have three sacks every game? He just doesn't do that. But should Myles Garrett always be better than he was? And that's kind of the thing. This season has been over for going on 2 months. But you would have expected in a bad Saints team, Browns off of bye, you would have expected, especially from the defense, a much better effort. Instead, the two quarterbacks just picked them apart, and guys were wide, wide, wide open all day. And, you know, just it's not good. There's not – I mean, what other than the receivers finally looking like NFL-caliber players is encouraging about this team right now?
Well, were we wrong to be that enthused, or in some circles people were saying Browns, one of the most talented teams in the NFL? How does it go from there at the start of the year to right now going, man, it seems like they have 10 positions they need to fill by next year?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, I think what they did last December, it was like, okay, it validated that they have the talent, right? It validated that they have the guys because they lost so many of them and guys stepped up and delivered. But I think what's happened this year is, you know, you've seen Myles be Myles, who's still kind of in a league of his own, but it has not been his own galaxy. You saw Amari Cooper last year play at extremely high level, give you absolutely nothing this year. You saw the other receivers give you less than zero until the quarterback change was forced in week 8, right? Last year, David Njoku was a top 4 tight end, you know? It just goes on and on and on. So Denzel Ward's having a great year. JOK was having a great year. And, yeah, there's a lot of guys with big contracts on this team that are just not having the same year. Yeah. And the talent is a problem because age is a problem and underproduction is a problem and the lack of a pipeline is a problem.
We're dancing around it here. I mean, we haven't mentioned, I don't think we've mentioned Andrew Berry's name much. Other than continuity, is there any reason to bring him back? Because it makes, I mean, you're making it sound without making it sound like there's just no viable option there.
No, I mean, we've said it before, right? It's out there. Like, there's no way you could justify him making the important picks that are going to need to be made. There's just no way. And, like, it would be different if this was year three, Ken, right? Or it mm-hmm. would be different if this was a lightning strike year and the quarterback was okay and then got hurt and one other guy, like, underperformed. But this was the all-in year. This was year five. And everybody makes mistakes, and this is hard league. It's hard to do this, right? But so many things have come to the forefront. And when you just look at Mike Hall's situation – and Zach Zinter's situation, and Quentin Jefferson's no longer on the team, right? And all just this whole thing where they just pushed in and said, we're going to keep this core together. We're here. Here's our team. And here's their team. They're 2-8, right? So, yeah, I think that's probably inevitable. But, again, we don't know who the owners are listening to inside or outside the building. And, frankly, like, I laughed about this when I was recording my own podcast last night. If you're one of these guys, if you're Paul DePodesta, Andrew Berry, or Kevin Stefanski, and they sit you down and say, we have one simple question to start. How do we get this fixed? How do you even answer that? Like, I don't know. And I cover this team every day, and you guys talk about them for hours every day. Like, how do you even begin to answer that? So, you know, who the owners trust and believe in and who they're asking about where they actually are is a big thing that we're just not going to have an answer to, at least not for a few more weeks. I mean, it's probably safe to say it's headed for the front office side one way in January, but man, it's only November 19th. So I don't know.
Zach, thank you very much for the time. You've certainly painted a sunny picture as always. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Zach Jackson from The Athletic. Read him in The Athletic. He's fantastic.
Can you imagine? Is there a chance somebody in that building said the answer is Mike Vrabel?
Oh, I'm sure we'll wonder about that coming up.